Christmas is a Christian festival. But actually, even if it isn't called Christmas, all over the world, around this time, there is a festival. And I've been many times at around Christmas time in India, where they have the Festival of the Lights. The Jewish faith has a festival very close to this. And many other religions have a festival, and it's really often associated with the idea of light around Christmas. And therefore, I always feel that Christmas is something people all over the world share, even if there are many different aspects of how they look at it. But it's the light which is interesting, the emphasis on the light, which when I have been to any other festival at this time, which is emphasized. Now, today, I'm going to talk about Christmas, this season of the year, where people are thinking together. Here in this country, of course, we think very much of Christmas with the idea of giving and with the idea of the Christian faith. Now, I'm also going to talk today about the angelic forces. And I'm going to say something funny. I used to speak many years ago about the angels. And I was interested to note that if you talk to the audience at that time, very few people, even in the Christian world, believed in angels. I think they were willing to believe in all sorts of other things. But the concept of angels, really, on the whole, I think people did not believe in. And here again, I come to the concept that angels are not part only of the Christian tradition, but everywhere in the world, particularly in the East. I mean, remember, I was born in the East myself. In Indian religion, they are called the Devas or the Shining Ones. And again, the word of light is associated with really the angelic kingdom, because even here in the Christian pictures, you have this idea of wings and this feeling of light and joy. And the Parsis, many different religions emphasize that there are beings, whether we call them angels or whatever we call them in different religions, the idea is the same. So I'm going to tell you something about what I think about the angelic world and its relation to Christmas. I, of course, accept the idea that these beings do exist, but I think we do not have quite the same idea which some people have, that a mere process of dying, one becomes an angel. I believe that there are these angelic beings and that they are part of our world picture. I've emphasized that the idea of Christmas, even if it's not called Christmas, it's really the winter solstice coming in, is really a world idea. And what I feel very strongly, particularly at this time, is that we do not realize how closely we are bound together in the world. We really share so many views alike. We share so many ideas, and more or less what I feel strongly today is we don't realize that we are bound together by our feelings. that our feelings do not stop by the body, that what we feel reaches other people. And that we have, therefore, a much more profound effect upon one another and the world because our feelings reach around the world. And therefore, happiness, unhappiness, I personally feel that today there is great anxiety in the world. I really think there is a sort of pervasive anxiety in the world. And I think it is shared again. Why I'm bringing this up? Because it has really something to do with my subject. Now, from my point of view, I'm coming back to talking about the angelic beings, angelic forces. There are angelic forces, and there are angels. I think they have a part to play in the world around us. They have their own roles, these beings, to play. They do not only exist to help humanity, as we sometimes think. I think they have their part of the world of nature. They are also playing their part, if we can call it, in a divine plan, a divine world, in that way. I'm using very large terms, because as I say, I'm not talking about one faith only, I'm talking about it as a world picture. I think that at Christmas time, that these beings, which we call angels, do have a special role to play. I think these beings, and I'm going to talk about their work and something of what they do more in a moment, at this time of year, I think all over the world, because with the winter solstice and because so many religions have this faith, pour a special energy and a special blessing upon this world. But of course, it is an energy which all of us can appreciate if we understand how to connect with it and how we can use it for helping others. It isn't for us, it is for helping the world. Let me say again, I'm just going to tell you my ideas, and these are my ideas about the angelic hierarchy as I think of it. And I think, and I say, that the angels are part of a world picture. They are, of course, living and not in the physical world as we see it. But let me say how I'm going to describe it from a place I can say anything I like. I lived a very long time in New York City. I can say everything bad or good in it. It's not Chicago. Take New York City. I'm going to describe something about it. New York City is, of course, a very big city. It is also in a very small space, physical space. Millions of people live in this space. There's a tremendous lot of unhappiness. There's a tremendous lot of violence going on in a big city like this, where so many people have these strong feelings. There is, of course, the opposite. I mean, it is, of course, a city of great churches, just like Chicago or anywhere else. It is, of course, a city where a lot of people feel the opposite of the negative emotions I have stressed. I mean, all cities are like that. But New York, I think, is unique because it is in such a very small space. So in one way, the pressures of people's feelings are more compact. Does that make sense to you? Now, I believe that in a city like New York, there is a being, which I call the Angel of New York, and he has a function. Part of his energy is actually in the earth of New York, like a network. His emotional atmosphere stretches the size of the city, and his consciousness, of course, embraces all the negative, all the positive emotions in a city like New York. Now, the function of such a being is very precise. There is a center from which such a being works. And I think this is in the center of New York. And what his function is this. It is to constantly balance the emotional difficulties, the emotional violence, the tragedies which are going on in such a big city, and use the energies what people pray, what they think of in churches, in prayer centers, but also what each individual feels, what he can contribute to the helping of other people. I think this is not only going on in New York, it is going on all over the world. I mean, I'm only picking on a city I know so well. So, what the function of this being is to bring a balance. Use what is available. Am I making a clear picture? And add his own energy of whatever calmness, of strength, to that, so that there is, in such a big, tumultuous, you might say, aura of a city like New York, there is a semblance of balance. Does that make a picture for you? Because I suppose it could be worse. we could say that, I think. And there are many fine things going on in every city beside the negative impact. But so the angels, there are many kinds of angels. This is one kind of angel I'm describing to you, and this is this particular angel's function: to be related with humanity, in other words, in a balancing function, to keep always pouring out energy and using our energy to help to balance that. So what I feel is, well, I was in New York. I lived finally many years in New York. I advocated while I lived there that everybody should try to send out a prayer, if you like to call it that, of love towards just helping the whole city. So that every bit of what we can feel towards that helps. And also, I think, if we can feel this, that there is in our midst, even if there's tremendous chaos, as there may be, there is a presence of order. We may not see it, But there is a presence of order. If we can align ourselves, whatever happens to us, with that orderly presence and that presence of love, it gives us strength. I mean, it is a strong feeling, and the angel of New York happens to be very strong. It is a difficult city with all the pressures of all the different markets which are going on and the United Nations. It needs a great deal of strength. But if we can relate to that, it gives us a sense that we can do something, but that we can relate to that by angelic presence by thinking of it. Now, all over the world, there are angelic presences, but even wherever we go, there are really these angelic presences all through the land. And I always think of them as that. Now, with regard to other events, there are other kinds of angelic beings. I think when you go to your churches and you go to your different religious places at Christmas, there is a different kind of angelic beings. I think they again relate to the prayers. They relate and help human beings, in other words. And I think they bring to a religious service some of the sense of unity and uplift, I think, people feel when they go to church, in other words. I think they distribute it and they add to it. And I think, therefore, if a person goes to church, but I'm saying church because I'm living in Sweden, but it applies to any religious body, I think, around, I think they add to what you may feel if you have an inspiration. Because there are two things which goes all through the angelic kingdom. Their outlook on life is not like ours. Their outlook on life, you must think, first of all, is in much bigger terms than ours. We think in terms of our small communities. We think of a separated world, don't we? I mean, that's just, we cannot help practically but think about it. They are thinking of large blocks of people. And so two things I think they feel. This sense of unity, but also they perceive something which we do not perceive. We do not perceive them. They look at something which I call energies. When we are angry, in this energy field around us, we send, could I say a negative energy? Could I use that? If we feel love, we gain, project a positive energy. I rather call it positive and negative than anything else. They actually perceive what we feel in terms of energy. It isn't just an emotion. I think they perceive the whole world as a dynamic interchange of energy in which they can have their feeling of love. And therefore, say if in New York, let me say any part of New York, in this fast feeling which they have for sensitivity, if they felt tremendous violence bubbling up, could I say this? It arises, I mean, we produce it, don't we? It is we ourselves as humanity, we feel the violence. What they can do then, by their perception, they can mobilize their energy to that particular spot, and they can also, as much as they can, draw upon the positive feelings which are available at that part of the world. And in that way, they cannot prevent. Let me say this. They cannot prevent violence taking place. It is our violence, isn't it? Am I making that clear? It is we who are producing the negative energy. They can only do the best. Because feelings are absolutely, from my point of view, contagious. If you are in a crowd, if you are in a lot of people, this feeling carries people away one to another. And thus, what they can do, it is, I'm bad in repeating that we are responsible, aren't we? But I have to say it. Because we do not realize in our own lives, I think nobody in this room is violent as we are have sometimes in places like New York. But nevertheless, we do not feel responsible very often. If we feel very angry about something, we feel it is fine, don't we? And that's why I'm not going to tell you about what is going on in the world. Violence among children is very much on the rise. Because today, we feel it's all right. We have no idea. This is what I'm trying to bring out in my lecture. That when you feel violent to a child, you spread this in the atmosphere. Does that make sense to you? And thus, it has a pervasive effect. And we don't realize, even if you don't go so far as to actually hit or abuse a child, which it probably will lead to, and people say, it is all right. We have no sense of responsibility about what we feel, because that is our private concern, as long as we feel we are not doing anything physically abusive. Wouldn't you agree that? And very often, the violence hurts another person just as much if you hurt them physically or not. And this, a great deal of this is what the angels have to deal with. I'm bringing it to the practical world, Amandai. But I feel very strongly about it because we are living at a very difficult time in our history. There is no doubt about it if you are aware of what's going on around us. So I feel that if we can think of these angels, if we can think of the angels, if we are in a difficult situation, if we are where there is difficulty, there is violence around us, we may be calm, but we don't know how to deal with it, isn't that so? Because after all, we are reacting, aren't we? If you could think of these beings and say, if I need help, let me be strengthened, in other words, to send love and peace as much as we can around us. I think we can stand it a great deal more. But also, I think I'm coming to Christmas. I think people today and in the next 2 weeks, they will be praying in many churches, in many religious places, And they have, will have the sense of devotion, and I think very much often the sense of sharing. I mean, don't you think this very often goes with the Christmas spirit today? It doesn't last the whole year necessarily, but for this place it does, doesn't it? I think what the angels have beside the sense of strength and balance, strangely, and this is, I think this is why the symbol of light is involved. As they look at life so differently from us, they have a joyousness. They have a tremendous lust of happiness, a sense of joy. And I think this again is associated with the symbol of light. They have that to give, even if they are aware of it. Let me say another thing. I don't think these beings, they have to deal with it. They don't understand it. That is may put it. So they don't get involved. Am I making this clear? We understand something of our motivation. Am I making a point which is important? They deal with the effects. They don't get involved with our violence, with our unhappiness. They get involved a great deal more with our positive emotions, and they observe humanity seems to have to be and express this negative emotion. I mean, it is part of the world picture. And I think, therefore, they have compassion. But what we feel compassion, if we could really feel compassion, if you are helping people without constantly judging what is right or wrong, it is the orderly process. If you develop anger because something is very wrong when you are helping somebody, your part of you becomes split again into anger instead of spending your energy completely in sending love and compassion. It's a very difficult thing to practice, isn't it? Very, very difficult. But we should remember that if this sadness, if this thing resonates in us, as it does more or less in daily life, if we face emergencies, part of that will come out. And thus, if we realize again that the best way, if you really want to help, and I'm always talking about help, I feel the world is in need of help. Would you agree with me? Or not? I therefore feel, and I'm always saying, that this time, Christmas time, is a wonderful time because these angelic forces are much closer to us than at any other time. But at the same time, it is a difficult time for thousands and thousands of people. And this is the month, therefore, beside the sharing and the giving, we could all help if we could say, even for these 2 or 3 weeks, I get irritated, I get angry, I get depressed, not only because it is in me, but I'm reacting to the atmosphere of thousands of people around me. Does that make sense? I think it's a helpful idea. I know if I get irritated about something myself, I'll say, hey, now why are you blowing something up when there is no need to blow up? And I stop myself just by saying that to myself. I can stop myself immediately because I realize I don't want to add to that name. Because the outside influences at this time of the year and at this particular year are very powerful also. And we are likely to do this. And I think if we learn that, we each are giving something of ourselves. And Christmas isn't the giving of presents, which is important. It's a giving of ourselves in thoughts, in our prayers, and this sort of thing. I think this, and that requires discipline. And I think this is the greater gift than giving presents, I really feel, to keep this going and thinking about it for the next 2 or 3 years. 2 or 3 years, it wouldn't be nice. I meant to say 2 or 3 weeks. It would be lovely if I could say 2 or 3 years. Another thing I want to say is, now I'll come back to a description of the angelic angels. I think angels have, in our Christian literature, have always been depicted by wings, which gives one, I think, the inspiration that they are connected to a higher level. Wouldn't you think that the angels give one is a symbolism that there is a higher level of consciousness? And I think all angels, of course, basically and fundamentally, first of all, act, they have their being in a higher level of consciousness. Now, all angels don't look alike. But let me say that some of them, now how am I going to describe this? They do not necessarily have to take physical form. I mean, no physical form, let me say this. They never take physical form. But I think sometimes they do assume human form. Could I put it that way? And if they assume human form, they have not necessarily our size, our proportion. This is what I'm saying. I don't think you have to think of them like you and me. It is a human proportion. It's a face, the whole thing, a human form. And it is surrounded. And I think this is the idea that we got, the idea of wings. It is surrounded. The word aura has come completely fashionable today. It is like in a tremendously glowing aura of light. You can imagine, therefore, a human form with this enormous radiating aura of different shimmering light in constant motion. And this extreme both, the extreme sensitivity, am I making this clear? If you are wearing of it, and yet great strength, both of them. And therefore, if you see an angels, if you become aware of it, and many, many thousands of people through the ages have seen angels, they have depicted them in many ways in different countries, they are part of our world. We encounter many people. I think one of the most beautiful stories I read a very long time ago, but I have remembered it. It's a description of some boy dying, little boy dying in an accident. And what is described, this boy is dying in an accident, and it describes an angel, as it were, coming to help him. In other words, to face whatever it is. And therefore, I think angels are not so much connected, from my point of view, with our personal day-to-day life, but they are, their energies. We can call upon our their energies through prayer, through thinking, if we are imbued with the desire to help others. I think this, the altruism, then I think if you really are in need of that energy. And remember, there's another thing. It isn't only feeling. I think they also are in the world of ideas. I think the world today is in a great crisis of many changes. And thus, therefore, thinking, if you want to think of helping others, it's open your mind. Our mind, the world is changing. And something, in other words, thinking of the changes which will be in the future may give you an insight and not a fear of a changing world. Am I making that clear? There is a period of transition. And if we are in harmony and think always in an altruistic way, I think we get an insight. I think it's perfectly amazing in my lifetime how the world has changed. For the worse and for the better. It is both. In ideas, I was reading a history of science about 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. And it's perfectly amazing. He says that the wave of the future in medicine, etc., is going to deal with the word with auras. Now, to use the word auras in a history of science is rather amazing, isn't it? It's published, I think, by the Johns Hopkins University Press. I mean, that already is perfectly amazing that a book like that should come out. I think in the field of medicine, very slowly, doctors are interested in the hospice movement. Doctors are even not so close-minded on alternative method of healing. Even the most orthodox doctors, surgeons even, are advocating that there are different methods of healing. Now, 40 years ago, this wouldn't be respectable, would it? Wouldn't you agree with me there? I mean, I'm amazed with the literature I read in different parts of the world where these ideas are. We're going to have an article in our special issue by a very well-known surgeon. And he says, I would like to write on healing methods for you, but I would like to take it, if you let me, more from the mystical side. Now, could you hear of a surgeon wanting to write an article about the healing arts in this way? So I think in the world of the mind, there is a tremendous opening and tremendous, it may be too slow for some of us, but if you think of 50 years ago, the opening is far greater than most people realize. Am I making that clear? There is an opening in all sorts of circles to the possibility even that these spiritual beings, like the angels, and that spiritual energies are available. And I think personally, I am very happy. I speak in many, many different parts of the world, I mean, particularly in the United States, and I'm perfectly amazed with the different people I meet who are open to all these new ideas. So both are present. Things are not easy, but in the field of human relations, things are more difficult and easier because there is a greater thing. And therefore, today, at Christmas, I think if all of us could think of these beings, and I like the word associated with them. In Sanskrit, they call devas, the beings of light. Don't you think this is a better idea, because angel has practically no meaning, but an angel of light is a symbol of light against darkness, isn't it true? And I think we all in this way could, in our daily lives, think at Christmas, this tremendous outpouring of really, of love towards humanity from these beings, if we realize it. Shall we have a meditation now? So what I would like us to see is to relax and just to feel as close as a group as we can. Let us think of a tree, a waterfall, whatever it is, which to us is a symbol of peace. Let's visualize that. Now let us be just absolutely still and quiet within us for one moment. Let us think of the angels for one moment and think of humanity and send out peace with the blessing of the angels, these thoughts of peace. Thank you.